All right. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate the tone of the music tonight. Theme of missions, if you picked up on the words, and appreciate the young folks doing that for us tonight. It is my privilege to just say a quick word about HEPS Ministries. Brother Scotty Drake has acted on a leading of the Lord a number of years ago, getting the HEPS Ministries going. It is a little different. It brings the missionaries from the field to us, and we get direct reports on what's going on. And so many times it is the missionaries, in a sense, that are already there and can do the best job in many cases. Now, they'll all tell you, thank God for the American missionary that went over and reached them. But then they begin to do the work. And naturally, with the, I won't say experience, but with their backgrounds in their own neighborhoods and communities and country, they've been able to do a lot. And the stats now showing up after all these years are showing up some really great results of the missionaries like you'll hear from tonight. We appreciate Brother Glenn Moorman. He's been chauffeuring them around, and he got caught in all that traffic. You say in Tampa traffic, no Haines City traffic. Now, I'm joking a little bit. He did have to try to get out of Tampa, and I think they had a wreck, and he couldn't get out on 75, and had to take all the, but thank God he knows Florida enough he's able to get here. And I know it was a trying time for you, Brother Glenn, but we're glad you made it. And I want you to come up and introduce our missionaries for us tonight, if you would, please.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate the church allowing HEPS Ministries to come and share with you tonight, and your heart will bond with these two men, and I have the wonderful privilege of spending about 3 months with them, the time that they're away from their home, their ministries. And so when you see these guys, pray for them. It's not so easy to leave their wives and their children and their ministry and come here for 3 months. And so I appreciate Dr. Scotty Drake allowing me this pleasure and privilege to chauffeur them around and just to help out a little bit. And I'm excited for what God is doing in their countries, and that we American churches can partner with them so they can do a whole lot more. I know you don't want to listen to a Mormon, so I'm going to introduce the first one. Brother Gene Ronald Paul, come. He's from Haiti, and he has a wonderful testimony, which you'll enjoy. And then right after that, Brother Ryan Thompson from Barbados will be our speaker tonight.
Good evening, church. My name is Jean. Hello. Jean for French, John for America. Jean or John, no problem. My name is Jean Ronald Paul. I'm from Haiti. I want to thank HEPS Ministries, Brother Mormon, who allowed me to be here with tonight. And I want to thank the pastor who gives me this opportunity to talk to you. I am married and have two children, one boy and one girl. I am pastor. I have 16 years in the ministry. I teach in Bible College. I was born in a family of three children. I'm a third one. My family is not rich, but they are Christians. When I was a child, mom and dad brought me to church. I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 11 years old. My dad was crippled in one hand and one foot. He died later that year. I also said, when my father died, and I made the decision to follow Jesus. I got baptized at 16 years old. I learned to play the accordion. Then I started to preach to children in their house. Some 3 years later, I become a Sunday school teacher. I become the youth president in the church. When my pastor saw how God used me, he asked me to study the word of God in Bible school. I did not have money for that. Instead, I taught in a primary school and I sold a horse that my dad left for me so I could pay for college. After my graduation, I spent 6 years as an assistant pastor. In a dream, I saw myself feeding a lot of people and fish at the same time. I understood that I needed to do evangelism. Some days after, I planted my first church, Connection Baptist Church in Quadebuque. I keep evangelizing as God showed me. In Plateau Central, Haiti, the place I was born, I had evangelized 100 adults and children. That is where I started my second independent Baptist church. My vision for my ministry is to open our church in the Central Plateau, Haiti. We now have a center for the care of adults who are 60, 70, 80 years old. We give them food, give them medicine when they are sick, and have funerals for them when they die. My vision for older adults is to make a nursing home for them. I continued with my call. I went to the mission in Haiti, Artibonite. I preached to 3,000 people who believe in voodoo and witchcraft. Praise the Lord, there were 800 people who accept Christ. I then planted a third independent Baptist church, Artibonite, Haiti. I started a fourth independent Baptist church and a center for older people. In a year, we evangelized 7,000 to 10,000 people. I ask for your prayers to God as we advance this difficult ministry. After the earthquake, Haiti is so much worse. Children sleeping on the street, unable to attend school, unable to eat, unable to go to the hospital. Pray for me that God will send something for Haiti. I plan to help 500 children go to school, find food and health care. Please pray for me so God can bless this project to further the kingdom of God. We want to take care of older people and poor children so they can live longer and better. I want to spend all my life with my family preaching the gospel and start a school so more children can be educated. Also, I want to start an orphanage. From 3 to 5 September, you know, Haiti was hit hard by Hurricane Matthew. Our church and my community, I have about many peoples, they lost their homes, their gardens, their street. Therefore, please continue pray for me, and God will give me the opportunity for the people of your church and my community to rebuild their home, start their street and plantation. Thank you again, Pastor, for your hospitality. Thank you, church. Thank you, God. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless America.
No, I'm not.
En Jésus-Christ, il est prêt à nous entendre, à répondre à notre cri. Il connaît nos défaillances et conduise chaque jour. Il est prêt à nous entendre quand nous sommes en souci.
Well, that was an extra blessing there. Tremendous. This man is a pastor. He's been doing a good job in what we would consider the hardest and some of the poorest places and some places where the devil has had a toehold for a long, long time in history. And yet, that's what I was saying a while ago. We have these men in the area that could do the job that would be hard for us to go down there and do. And that's a good example of it. What a blessing. What a blessing. Appreciate it. Then we have Brother Thompson going to come up, I believe, and from Barbados, and he's going to speak to us here. Good to have you, brother.
But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. I give God thanks for my salvation. I appreciate your prayers. I lost 6 pounds in 2 days. This was on Friday, and I was hit with something fast, and I bounced back, but my voice didn't bounce back with me. So I have my Bible, I have an instrument, and I have some mints. So if you see me snap morning, it's just to keep my voice. You may know my brother. Some of you may recognize me as my brother. You guys support him and encourage him. He's a missionary to Bolivia, Anderson Thompson, and he's watching online if there's live stream, and it's just a blessing. And I'm glad to be here. I received the Lord as Savior when I was 7, and a missionary started our church from the States as well. And I came forward, someone took the word of God, showed me I was a sinner, Christ died for me. If I believe in him, I could be saved. And I repented of my sins and I got saved, amen. And years after, the Lord led me to Bible school in Puerto Rico. And then after that, he led me to Crown College, sorry, Landmark. No, I'm just saying, since they have been, y'all have been a real encouragement and a blessing to me. I love the spirit. I love college children, students. I'm a college kid too, you know. And then after I did my Master of Ministry in Divinity, he led me to Tabernacle, where I did my doctorate in Virginia Beach, Tabernacle Baptist Bible College. And I started the Truth Bible Institute, so I didn't do that training just to train, but to be a church planner and to train our people. Dr. Adams from Bahamas, I met some Bahamians here, and he was the one that challenged me to do the doctorate, and I took his word, took him at his word, and I did it. And I thank God for that. There's 285,000 people in Barbados, 4 independent Baptist churches, and it's my burden to start a Bible club in each parish. See, these clubs become fundamental Baptist churches. And I have a burden to give the gospel to deaf people in Barbados. Please pray for me. I know that God can do a great work through them. And just keep us in prayer. I married Krista. She's from Inverness, Florida. And we got twin boys, Josiah and Jedediah. And God's willing, they'll be here. I'm not sure if on the English side or the Spanish side on Sunday, you may get to meet them. And I just thank God for his faithfulness. And please pray for us as we go back home. And he's opened the door for us to be on television. And the government authorized me through Spanish to go to any public school, secondary school in Barbados. And we can go on any university campus on the entire Caribbean. And it's just been a great door of opening. And we want to go through by faith. Amen. Here's a man backslidden from God. He's on public transportation. And here is a lady. This is in England. He was under the preaching of George Whitfield, though not saved at the moment. And he heard a lady, she's humming, or she was singing a tune to a hymn that he wrote. And he said to her, the words were along the lines, "Madam, I would give 1,000 worlds to have the joy that I had when I wrote that hymn." And then it is said that he then wrote the third verse. There were 2 verses, but he wrote the third verse to that hymn. Oh, the grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. He says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. And I trust that this will be a blessing to you as I play for the Lord. I'd like you to take the word of God, please, and turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Tomorrow, what about tomorrow? That's the title of the message. Tomorrow, what about tomorrow? Where's those songs? I'm thinking, Jesus said, here I am, will you please let me in? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am he, and I'll supply all your need. And you said, I know, but tomorrow I'll give my life. Tomorrow I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say, tomorrow I'll give my life. Tomorrow, yeah. It's so much easier to say, but your tomorrow very well might be too late. Joshua chapter 3, the word of God says, in a verse that God used to challenge my life in a great way as a little boy. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Shall we look to God in prayer? Dear God, the songwriter said, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Oh, God, I pray in this short moment you would just fill me and use me. Thank you for the pastor here, Pastor Carter, and his faithfulness over the years. And these dear college students and this dear church and people and ministry. I pray you will fill me, use me, and give the glory that you deserve. Oh, God, get the glory you deserve. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow. You know, as I think of the context of this book, I'd like you to look at chapter 1. And I'm thinking of Joshua. Joshua was a man that served under Moses. And I'm thinking of the work and the word and the weapon. And just by way of introduction, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Here's Joshua, meaning salvation. And you know, the book of Joshua is considered by many as the Ephesians of the Old Testament. As we think of spiritual blessings in high places, we want to possess the promised land, a place of victory, and to have all that God would have for us. And we can do it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Joshua, Jesus who saves. And here's Joshua, and Moses is dead. And he's told to arise. You know, I think of the fact that Abraham, he's dead. Isaac, he's dead. Jacob, he's dead. Joseph, he's dead. David, dead. Solomon, dead. Isaiah, dead. Jeremiah, Hosea, dead. Daniel, dead. Ezekiel, dead. Hosea, dead. You know, I think of the 12 apostles who shake the world, they turn the world upside down. They're dead. They're dead. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ who died, but on the third day, he rose again, amen? And he lives forevermore. Buddha's dead, Muhammad's dead. My Christ will never die. He suffered once for all. Moses is dead. You know, as I think of the leaders, even as I think of Apostle Sexton, we look to the choir with a burden, as your pastor will have a burden for the college even. He said, I have about 10 more years, and I want to give it all to the Lord. And this year, he just stood between life and death. And I think to the fact that young people, that the older ones will soon be gone. I will soon be gone. And there's a time where God, he's looking for a Joshua, a man of God, to say and to understand that Moses is dead. I saw him work. I saw him serve. I saw the miracles. I saw God's hand upon his life. And now it's my time to be the Joshua that God has saved me and called me to be. Moses is dead. And there's a work to be done. Then we see the word of God, the work and the word. Joshua 1:8. Someone put it this way: you read it, you speak it, you think it, and you do it. This book, something you read, of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, you speak it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, you think it. That thou mayest observe to do, you do it, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The word of God. You see, it's amazing as we'll look at chapter 3. that before you can get to the promised land and before you can have the land which flows with milk and honey, before you can obtain the blessings of God, you must have a relationship and a bond with the Word of God. You know, being in so many camps and trips, being over in about 23 countries, God has allowed me to visit. And even through Bible school, I was burdened and saddened to see what a large percentage, I would say perhaps even more than 75% of the young men, and that I would, as you were in a college, you rub shoulders, you work together, and you're in the same rooms, and you see each other's lives. And I've seen a small percentage of people who would give themselves entirely to the Word of God. And I determined as a young boy, I'm going to study it, I'm going to memorize it, I'm going to learn it, I'm going to believe it, because the Word of God is my map, my guide, the method, the way of living the Christian life. Do you love it? Do you read it? Do you speak it? Do you do it? The Word of God. And then His weapon. It's not the might of the artillery. It's not the might simply of an army. It's knowing that the Lord is within. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And I'm going to go to the promised land. And the enemies, they're not going to just say, welcome in. They don't want me to have the land. But I know that Jehovah God, as He was with Moses, He is with me. And I am his servant. And He will strengthen me and enable me and empower me to get every blessing that He has for me over the other side of Jordan. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? So as we look now at Joshua chapter 3, and he's come to this point, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. What is it in your life today? What is it in my life today that would hinder me from the blessings of God? See, tomorrow, we want the blessings of tomorrow. You know, someone said the story of a young preacher. He went up to an older preacher and he said, he looked at all his ministry and the size of the building. He said, I would give anything to have what you have. And that's what the preacher looked at him and said, that's just what it took. Everything. Yeah. Everything. See, sanctify yourselves, God said. Be set apart. Be sanctified. Be holy. Live righteously. And tomorrow I'll do not just simple things, not just few. I'll do marvelous things, wonders among you. Wonders among you. Now, two things as we look at this challenge, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. First of all, in chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, and Joshua rose early. Something powerful about rising early. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsts for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Early. He says in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. First of all, you must remove. It says they removed. You see, Joshua's understanding that if I'm going to possess the promised land, if I'm going to get the blessings of God, I must remove. I must move. We're thinking of missions. We're thinking of advancing. We're thinking of a mighty army going with the power of God to get what God has promised and will give us if we trust Him by faith. Amen. And they removed. In other words, we're going. We want the blessing. We want the promises. We want it. We are moving. They remove themselves. Someone here maybe needs just to get up and go. See, Barbados, for Independent Baptist Church, it will always be the same unless someone removes and go. Remove and go. So much application. I've seen in Bible college some people destroy their lives even in relationships. You do that landmark too, you like to get in a relationship that happens around here? Happens every God. This is a good place to find God's will. But I looked at some men and I thought, brother, you need to remove or sister you need to remove. See, you want God to do wonders in your life tomorrow, and you're about to marry a man who doesn't love the word, who has no testimony, he's lazy, and you will regret it. You must remove. She may be pretty, she may be talented, but all she may be interested is in the worldly things, and you will look to God in the future for wonders, and you may be marrying someone who will hurt your life and your ministry, and you need to remove. Thank God for a wife that loves God. I went to my bachelor's, no wife, master's, no wife, divinity, no wife, doctorate, no wife. I thought, wow, God has someone. I saw my friends get first child, second child, third child, going, married for 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, guys in school, and I was single, single, single. But I said, I'm going to seek God and trust God and love God and live for God. And he gave me a wife in due time. He gave me twin boys in due time. And God is good. God is good. They removed. Verse 2, and it came to pass of Joshua 3, after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of God, the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Secondly, when ye see the ark, when ye see the ark, that's so important. The ark, can you remember when the Philistines, they stole the ark and the people of God were saddened? Can you remember when the ark came back, when they were excited, they were rejoicing? The ark is here. You remember they took that ark and they put it by Dagon, and that false god was destroyed just by being next to the ark. You remember Uzzah tried to touch the ark and he was killed just for trying to touch the ark. And the ark of God would stand before the children of God before you cross the river Jordan, before you get to the promised land. There must be an ark. You must be behind the ark. You shall see the ark. You shall see the ark. You know, I think of the ark. You remember the tabernacle, the outer court? You remember where there was the brazen altar, picture of Christ's death? The brazen altar, you cannot get into the holy place before you pass the brazen altar, and we are saved by his blood. Amen. But then you go to the laver. You can't serve God with dirty hands and dirty feet. You cannot go into the holy place with dirty hands and dirty feet. You must be to the laver. Then you go into the holy place. Lampstand, table of shewbread, altar of incense. But then, oh, I think of a song. I found a way through the blood past the veil to the holy of holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand. Glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me. You see, it was in the holies of holies. The high priest would go once a year, and there was a mercy seat. What a joy to know there's still mercy with the Lord. And by the mercy seat, there was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. I found a way through the blood past the veil to the holiest of holies with God. Altars of gold and of brass are behind. Tables, laver, and candlestick too. There in the presence of Jesus I stand. Glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can talk, I can meet with my God. All through the blood of the Lamb. There in the presence of Jesus I stand. Shekinah glory surrounds on all hands. There I can talk, I can meet with my God. All through the blood of the Lamb. When we're talking about when you see the ark, it was not just a piece of wood. It was not just a piece of furniture. This was a place. This was something that was found in the holies of holies. This was something that you got to when you passed the blood and the laver. This was something where there was mercy with God. Yeah. And this is all that needed to be in place before you can pass the Jordan and get to the promised land. We want the promised land. We don't want to see the ark. We want the promised land blessings without the presence of God. We want the promised land blessings without the holies of holies. That's why Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. And the ark was the was the tables of stone, the law of God. In the ark was a pot of manna, a picture of God's provision. He gave them manna in the wilderness. In the ark was Aaron's rod, you're reading, and that budded, not just a rod that budded. It was a rod that did miracles, but yet that budded rod where there was a plague and God stayed the plague and 12 princes brought their rods and Aaron's rod budded, and you get, he was from the family of the Levites and God blessed the Levitical priesthood. All of this is what we get when we talk about the ark, that God will guide, there's the law. God will provide, there's the manna. God does wonders. God chooses, there's Aaron's rod that budded, and as the people will go through to the promised land, they know I'm going with a God who gives, who provides, who does wonders, who does miracles, and who's holy.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
You know, as a runner, I had desires to go to the Olympics. I taught running back in Barbados in schools, and the Lord gave me an injury. My coach, he coaches Olympic athletes, or Bedelli Thompson, some of these guys may know, and ran against Adam Bolden in the Olympics. And the Lord gave me an injury. I never got to that level. But I know there was a 5,000 meter race, and I wanted, and they threw me in there. My excuse was they put me with the big boys, and they beat me bad. I got lapped twice. 5,000 meters, try going to school tomorrow after that. Not a good way to impress, the ladies. I was just a little boy. Embarrassing, they tease you. But I thought, one day I'm going to win that race. One day I'm going to win that race. And you know, another coach, he pulled me aside and he would carry me to on the field. And I had to go home in the night. Sometimes because the workouts were so hot, I would leave him. He, a big grown man, will wait for me to train me, and he would go home, and I never turned up. And when I'm there, he would run me around, and I'd be over here panting, say, get up, not finished, get up. And then I'll think he's finished, say, one more, one more. You know, one day, I arrived to win that race. After that, it's big back home. I mean, you got guys searching at 14, running times to be in the Olympics at that age. It's a big thing back home. And I thank God as I grew and I won that race. I won that race. School won the title. I was division champion. But you know what's the point? His point was I was just a skinny little boy with a desire to win, knowing nothing. But as I got with my coach and as he would train me and mold me and help me, he set me apart, and I'm going to teach you some things. I'm going to teach you how to breathe, how to move your hands, how to stride, how to fight, how to think, how to be a warrior, how to win. Next year, I beat the defending champion. I became a great runner. You know, I think of young people. I think of myself, by the grace of God, so young. There's so much that God can do through our lives if we be sanctified. And if I could spend time with an earthly coach that could bring me to be a champion, how about spending time with God and knowing God? And you'll never be the pastor he's called you to be. You'll never be the husband, the wife, the leader he's called you to be if you've never been to the Holy of Holies with God. So much blessing in the promised land. So much blessing. And we're coming to a fast close in verse 4. It says, There therefore shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it, that ye may know the way. Oh, speaks of the Ark of the Covenant, of God's presence, God's leading. Some people even liken it to the Holy Spirit of God leading us, that ye may know the way which ye must go. And like this part, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. This is missions. See, many churches, they have arrived and they just come to a peak. And many times in our Christian lives, we come to a point where we want to go no further. We read the scriptures the same amount. We pray the same amount. But God says, you have never passed this way hitherto before. Heretofore is to say that there's journey. You see, I want to venture with God. I want to go where I've never gone. I want to experience what I've never experienced. I want to see what I've never seen. I want to see God work in ways he's never worked before, because tomorrow he will do wonders among me if I'll sanctify myself, and he'll bring me where I've never been before. Amen. One verse and we'll close. Joshua chapter 14. Here's a man that took that promise. And here's the conclusion, and I'll close in prayer. Caleb, faithful man, who was also with Joshua. We think of the spies, good report, bad report. They saw it through the eyes of faith. It says, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What about it? Young person, what about it? Married couple, what about it? Caleb said, as he heard and he knew that through sanctification, God will do wonders. And he comes and he looks at the mountain. Jericho was won. There was a great loss at Ai. But here's Caleb, and he's saying, I won that mountain. I'll drive them out. Yes, it'll call for work, and yes, there's labor. But I want this mountain, and give me now this mountain. What do you want now from God? Heads bowed and our eyes closed. Dear God, help me to sanctify myself that you'll do wonders tomorrow. And dear God, I pray, I give the gospel. If there's one without Christ, may they come to know you, to know you, who is life eternal. Thank you for Pastor Carter, and I pray you'll bless him and have your will in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Let's go ahead and stand. If you, God spoke to your heart, you need to come to the altar. Now's a good time. That's a tremendous message we just heard from missionary. Maybe the Holy Spirit brought up what we've been putting off. And putting off to tomorrow, using the excuse of we'll do it tomorrow. Somebody said, today is the tomorrow that you thought about yesterday. Oftentimes, tomorrow is a put-off thing. It's a dodge. We procrastinate and never get around to it. He made so many good scriptural points there. So very many. I believe God spoke to somebody's heart about it. Some folks get to go into church, but they've never been to the brazen altar. Then some folks that have gotten saved, born again, been to the brazen altar, received Christ as their sacrifice. But they won't go wash their hands. They won't clean up their life. They won't go by the laver. They won't get separated and sanctified. And the Bible says, God says that he uses clean vessels. Clean vessels. I want to ask Brother Hector to lead us in a verse. If God's spoken to you and you haven't been to the altar yet, and you ought to come, and maybe it's just a little controversy between you and God, where you've been putting off something, promising tomorrow, but tomorrow's never come. You've never done it.